the same Tony and Jenny you've come to love give you an extra dose every week.
I've done murals.
You have done murals. Off in the corner is really odd. There was a questionable chipmunk and a squirrel.
On their other podcast, Junkin' with Jenny.
And I don't know if one was giving a piggyback ride to the other.
They were making a churl.
That was questionable.
Here's how it works. You send in questions and pictures about items or spaces in your home that you want to repurpose. Then Tony and Jenny give you ideas and techniques on how to do it.
Letter says, hi, Tony and Jenny. I just purchased my first house. I'm discovering the joy of fixing and changing things to my taste. It's not cheap.
And how to do it on a budget.
We did levels, Jerry. Levels.
From chandeliers to bars to sleds to you name it. Tony and Jenny have you covered.
That stuff, you don't need to prime or anything. It just goes right on the metal and stays right on the metal.
With unique ideas on how to make reclaimed items the star of your home. Complete with insight on what works and what doesn't.
The plumb bobs are stupid f***s. And
I think it's the first time anyone has sworn on this show.
Well,
congratulations.
Whatever. It's Junkin' with Jenny.
There you go.
Watch each episode at junkinwithjenny.com and subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you download podcasts.
50 Shades of Grout.
50 Shades of Grout. That's great.
All the things you can do inappropriately with one bottle of grout.
It's a great product.
Junkin' with Jenny.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number to call into Real Ghost Stories Online. Of course, you can write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Or you can always email us a story. You can send the audio file of that to Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again. Hi. And how are you on this fine day?
I'm good. How are you?
I am I'm doing well. I'm just looking at the schedule. I'm looking at the week, if you will, that this is airing. And I'd like to be the first to say to you, happy Thanksgiving.
Well, happy Thanksgiving to you, too.
It is Thanksgiving week as this hits the air. So there you go.
Okay.
And we're just a few weeks. It's not that far behind Thanksgiving when we're recording this. But so we may be you may be listening to this on a car ride somewhere as you're binging away and freaking out your family and trying to get to Grandma's house for the turkey. Mm-hmm. We this year are going to be doing a bird that we hunt as a family. Actually, we're talking about going out back and catching one with our bare hands. Can be anything. Whoever catches the first bird, that's the bird we eat. And it may be turkey vulture. It could be I don't know. What do you think the kids could get their hands on?
This isn't going to happen.
It's a new tradition.
We're going to have a store-bought turkey.
Okay.
Like every other family that's probably...
Just like the pilgrims did?
Going to celebrate Thanksgiving. Yes.
Just like they did.
Yeah. Just like they did. Right. No. I know they had to hunt their stuff, but yeah. We don't have to hunt ours.
We don't, but every once in a while I do see a lot of turkeys in the neighborhood and turkey vultures.
Those would not taste good.
Those look scary. If you've ever seen a turkey vulture, it's like a vulture, but it has like the turkey head, and it's kind of creepy and weird.
Uh-huh.
I don't think not all vultures are turkey. Are turkey vultures, correct?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't know for sure, but...
Some sort of weird breeding went on
there.
We
can never hunt a turkey because we've named one of them. So
yeah,
the kids will assume that's the one that we've killed and are eating.
That's true.
Because we have this one lonely, weird turkey that always walks up and down our street.
Bob.
And we named him Bob. So Bob the turkey is our neighborhood turkey, and the kids are just going to assume whatever turkey we kill is Bob.
It's like, Dad is trying to save some money, and he got Bob!
Yeah.
With his feathers everywhere. Yeah, there is that. Have you seen Bob lately?
I haven't seen Bob since the flood.
God. Poor Bob.
Well, he moved up to higher ground. Remember, we saw him in a different part of the neighborhood.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe he just decided to call that home.
Yeah.
It was too traumatic seeing.
Well, there's less people up there.
Yeah. Bob, it was kind of funny just watching Bob though walk down the road by himself.
And he was always confused. You come up on him and mm-hmm. you slow down and he's like, I don't know which way to go. And he kind of zigzags in front of you for a while.
In the road.
And it's just like, dumb bird, get out of the road.
I almost like kind of wanted just to bring him home for a pet.
I know. You know, it's but
a little cage or something.
I
or
don't think
fence.
He'd stand for that. And something would get him. If you caged him or confined him, something would get him.
Just go out there, feed him, pet him. Be a little friendly. I could probably never eat turkey again then for the rest of my life.
Right.
And be like, oh, he's such a fun little pet. He's special. You know, he's not very smart. You know, then you just kind of get attached to him. Anyhow, 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to our first caller. Hi.
Hi, Tony. Hi, Jenny. Hi, RGSO family. This is Sarah from Lubbock, Texas. I've been wanting to share my stories for quite a while. About a year and a half, but I haven't felt safe to do so until now. The reason being is that I'm a very, very sensitive person. I can pick up on feelings and emotions, and sometimes have visions. And in the house we used to live in South Hadley, Massachusetts, we always had weird things happen. Things like seeing shadows out of the corners of our eyes, hearing weird things. We actually had one of our friends over that said they saw a woman's face coming out of the closet. And one day, a woman came and knocked on our door and said she had lived in the home. So we let her in and she told us all these pleasant stories, and included in some of those stories was a quick mention of her father dying in my daughter's bedroom. I was kind of shocked, and I asked her if anybody else had died in the home, and she said yes. She wouldn't tell me who. And she also said that she saw the ghost of her dead grandmother in the doorway next to my room. After she left, I was just almost out of my head with worry, so I went around the house and I said, look, I acknowledge you're here. Don't scare us. Don't show yourself to us. We don't want to hear you. Leave my daughter alone. And we'll take care of the house. Just let us be. After I said that, I had a feeling that talking about my ghost experiences, watching ghostly shows, even listening to your podcast, which I had to do outside of the home, just shouldn't have been done. For whatever reason, I felt like I asked them not to show themselves, so I'm going to reciprocate and give the respect and just not mention any of that. So we picked up, moved to Lubbock, Texas over the summer, and I feel like our home is normal. There's no bad feelings, and I can share my ghostly experiences. One of the scariest ones happened when I was living with my mom about 6 years ago. In the home, it was myself, my daughter, my mom, my sister, her son, and 2 weekends out of the month, my little brother and sister. My bedroom was located towards the back of the house, across a living room. Directly across the living room was my little brother and sister's room. I would sleep on the floor on a mattress with my daughter next to me. And one night, I woke up, I opened my eyes, and I was in the same room. But it was almost as if it was a different point of time. I was laying in this bed. I had a quilt over my body. My daughter wasn't there. And it was the middle of the day. I had no clue why I had been teleported. I don't want to use that word. But I had almost been teleported to a different time, but same bedroom. So I'm laying there trying to figure out what the hell is going on. And through the doorway, this giant black shadow starts coming into the room. It's enveloping the room. The room is slowly going dark. I am filled with absolute dread. And then, in the midst of this big black cloud coming into the room, I can see a shadow person coming into the room as well. And this shadow person had red eyes. I was absolutely paralyzed. I tried screaming, I tried moving, I couldn't move. It was absolutely terrifying. And then, with the blink of an eye, it was gone, and I was back in my room. I was on my mattress, on the floor, my daughter was next to me. That thing was gone. I checked, it was just an open doorway, but still the feeling of this ominous presence. I don't know why that thing decided to show itself to me, but at the time, it felt like, here I am, don't mess with me. It was so scary. And so later on down the road, let me tell you, I never ever slept with my door open ever again. But later on down the road, I meet my husband, I move to Massachusetts, and my sister moves into my old room. I told her about the experience I had with the shadow person, and her eyes got huge. She is also sensitive as well, but for her, she tends to see things and hear things versus me feeling things. And she told me one day she was in my old room, and she looks across the living room into my little brother and sister's room, and she sees a shadow person standing next to their bunk beds. And my gut dropped to the floor when she told me that. I was so shocked. She said that was the only experience she ever had, but we both agreed that that house was filled with horrible, horrible feelings, and we were so happy to move out of it. Anyways, I'm glad to share with you guys. I have more. I'll probably be calling in now that I'm in a safe space. And happy Halloween, everyone.
I was slow on the bunk bed, Belle.
It's okay. We'll forgive you.
Everyone's okay with that.
That's the first time that I've heard of a sleep paralysis type incident where you woke up and you're frozen in a different time period in the same spot.
I think that's different than sleep paralysis at that point, isn't it?
Yeah.
Similar. There's like similar symptoms.
Right.
But it's not quite, what you'd normally have in sleep paralysis. Mm-hmm. It's like she went to the upside down.
Well, I almost, I think I figured out a little bit into the story that she wasn't talking about the initial house where the lady came in and said her dad had died there and somebody else had died. I think she was talking about a different house.
Yeah.
Because I thought originally maybe it was getting to see what it was like to die from that person's point of view.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know that that was it.
It's an interesting concept because we talk a lot of times about ghosts and them operating kind of on their own planes of what existed when they were alive,
mm-hmm.
like floors and levels and doors and walls and windows and everything. And that's why maybe we see them going through walls and stuff sometimes. But we very rarely talk about beyond just seeing the ghosts, but seeing their atmosphere mm-hmm. and their world that they're operating in. And I'm wondering if this is kind of a glimpse into that as well.
Yeah.
You know?
And we don't get stories like that very often. So that's kind of a new one.
Yeah. Uh-huh. No. Thank you for sharing that with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Hi, you are on the air.
Hello, Tony and Jenny. I love the podcast. I've just recently started to listen to it. And I have some stories that I'd like to share with you guys. So here is one about the house that my parents and I lived in when I was younger in Mexico. So, a lot of weird and scary things happened to my parents in this house while they were living there. This is the first house that they lived in after they got married. This is where they were living when I was born. So, I guess I'll just tell you some of the experiences. So, my parents said that when I was very young, one day they wanted to, go out and have a night out alone. So they asked my aunt to come and babysit me. And they said that when they got home, she was really, really scared and she was ready to get out of there, asking my dad to just take her home quickly and saying, I'm sorry, but I can't babysit here again. Like, if you want me to babysit, you can bring her to the house, but I don't want to come be alone here ever again. So when my parents asked her what was wrong, she said that she was falling asleep with me and she had a small fan next to her, next to the bed. And she said that someone or something kept turning off the fan. So they would turn it off and she would turn it back on, thinking that it was some kind of electrical malfunction. And she would turn it on, and as soon as she would start to doze off, it would be turned off again. So she didn't think too much of that. She wasn't too scared. But then she said that in the mirror that my mom had in the bedroom, she saw a girl, a woman. And she was really scared. Sorry, as I'm telling this story, I just heard a strange noise from my closet and it kind of scared me. But anyway, so she was really scared and didn't want to go back. So my parents were like, okay, you know, she must have just thought she saw something, didn't really believe her. Until things started to happen to them too. So another time, my parents were at home. It was a little late. They were just watching TV when someone was knocking on the door. So they go to the door, and this was in Mexico, so over there, there are a lot of taco stands around. So there was literally, like, a taco stand in the corner of the street where my parents lived, and my parents' house was the second on the street, so the taco stand wasn't too far away. So my parents said that when they went to go get the door, it was actually the taco guy. And he was like, oh, your daughter forgot her change. And then my mom was like, my daughter is a baby. What do you mean? She was like, oh, well, if she's not your daughter, then I guess someone who was living here, they went to go buy tacos and they forgot their change. I saw them come in here. And my mom was very confused. She's like, are you sure they came into this house? Because it's only my husband and I and a baby. She's like, no. And the guy was like, absolutely, like, sure. He was like, no, they came and they forgot their change and they went into this house. I saw her. So my parents were trying to explain to them, you know, like, no, nobody came in here. And so the guy was, you know, very stubborn about it. And they were like, no, we can't take your money. Like, no one went to go buy tacos. So that was one thing that happened. Another time was that they were coming back from my grandma's house. And as they were getting out of the car, walking to the house, some of the neighbor kids came running and saying that someone was in your house, someone is in your house. And when my parents asked them, you know, what are y'all talking about? They said that they were playing soccer and that they kicked the ball to the porch, to our house porch, and that a woman came out, grabbed the soccer ball, and took it inside. And my parents said that when they heard this, they were very scared because they said that when they first moved into the house, there were a lot of balls inside the house, and they thought, oh, you know, maybe kids used to live here. But it was so strange to them that the kids were telling them that a woman came and took the ball and, you know, took it inside when, you know, they had found a bunch of balls there when they first moved in. So my parents were like, you know, to the kids, like, are you lying? Are you lying? And they were saying no. So when my parents went inside to look for the ball, there was no ball. So other little things that would happen, my parents said that when they would be, you know, trying to go to sleep at night, they would hear noises in their backyard as if someone was dragging some chains. My mom would also say that she would have me, she would be like cooking in the kitchen, and I would be, this is when I was a little bit older because we lived there for a few years, and I would be playing in the backyard and where she could see me from the window. And she said that I would be standing in the corner by, and in Mexico we have like brick surrounding the backyard. So she said that I was standing in the corner of the brick walls, like speaking to the corner. So when my mom would come and ask me who I was talking to, I would always say, oh, I'm talking to the girl. My mom would ask, what girl? I was like, oh, the girl, she's right there. And I would point to the corner, but there was nobody, you know, nobody that my mom could see, at least. I have no memory of these things. But my parents also say that whenever they would ask me, you know, like whenever I would be talking to walls or talking to nothing, they would ask me, who are you talking to? And I would tell them that I was talking to the girl and that she would tell me to come here, like that she would beckon me. So these things kind of freak me out now as an adult because I wonder why I could see this girl, what she wanted from me. But my parents said that they never felt any like evilness, or, you know, never felt that she wanted to harm me or them. So they wouldn't really they were scared, especially my mom, because she was a stay-at-home mom and she would stay with me all day. But she said that it was never enough to where she felt threatened by Ed. She said that after a few things happened, they asked some of the neighbors if they knew anything about anything that had happened in that house. And, you know, she told them about the experiences she'd been having. And a few of the neighbors actually told her that a girl had passed away in that house of a heart attack not too long before they moved in. So my mom kind of figured that it was, you know, the ghost of this woman who was still there and who, you know, just liked to play tricks and buy tacos, I guess. But, yeah, whenever we go to Mexico, when we drive by that house, I always kind of get chills. We obviously don't own this house anymore, but I always get, like, a scary feeling knowing that my parents, you know, what my parents would tell me about me speaking to this girl. But, yeah, this is a haunted house story that I hope you guys enjoy. Thank you so much, and keep up the good work with the podcast. Bye.
I would definitely be the ghost that tries to buy tacos.
I want to be the ghost that sells tacos.
Uh-huh.
I would like to have a taco stand as a ghost.
Okay.
But I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
Where they, that would really be awesome if you could eat the tacos.
I would eat the tacos, but I wouldn't try and keep the kids' balls. They could keep their balls. You know, that's fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think I'd be trying to steal things from the children, but I would enjoy the tacos. But we've talked about food on the show before and what it takes, or what we seem to think ghosts have the ability to eat, or how they have the ability. And a lot of times it's walking through things or being present by them. But it sounds like they literally just bought the tacos and left.
Yeah.
So that means that there's more to it than that. Thank you for the story and sharing the experience with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's hear yours. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello, Mr. and Mrs. Brewski. My name's Aubrey. My friends call me Bubba. From the Houston metro area down here in Texas in a little town named Alvin. I wrote you back a while back, but I'm not sure if you got it, about something that happened to me as a kid. It has stuck with me throughout my adult life. I'm now 40. But I've reached out to some paranormal people, you know. Darkness, live sci-fi, etc. Just trying to get some information or some thoughts on what I saw when I was a child. You know, I've been afraid that it's gonna pop up again. And there's times that I'll have dreams about me dying in my dreams, and I go back to the house that I lived in when I saw this thing. Let me take you back about, I don't know, 33 years or so. We were living in Temple, Texas. There were some weird things going on around the house. Some smaller things that led up to something big. Like, there was a night we saw, my sister and I were sharing a bedroom, and my dad's boat was outside our window, and we saw a shadow person in it. They're always, you know, at night, I could always hear voices, like whispering in the living room. There was a night where I saw what I thought was a couple of little red lights, and they were getting bigger and bigger, and I realized that they were eyeballs, you know, red eyes. And I screamed for my parents. The hall light came on, they disappeared. Another thing was my mom. She was always telling my dad that when he wasn't home, she would hear voices. And she would think she heard something tapping on the walls and stuff. And he thought she was going insane. Something that I'll never forget is my sister, my dad, and I were in the garage. And we heard what sounded like glass breaking. we were in the living room, and my mom was sitting there just staring out into space, rocking back and forth. She had a big shard of glass in her hand. She had broken her favorite cup that she would drink out of. It was a Smurfs cup that I had given her for Mother's Day. And she slipped both wrists. And she was just sitting there staring. And it wasn't until we got her out of the house that she came to. Mr. and Mrs. Brewski, my mom died in 2014. Unfortunately, I'm the one that found her body. She was dead in her apartment. Her heart had given out. She died on her bathroom floor. But until the day she died, she couldn't tell you what happened. She said she was sitting there. She was watching something on TV. She was laughing. And then the next thing she knows, she was at the hospital. My mom wouldn't lie to me about that. You know, my mom was very open with me. And if she knew why she did it, she would have told me. Anyway, there was another event where I was playing with a puppy that my parents had got me. And my parents came to the living room and they saw me playing and petting my puppy. And they asked me what I was doing and I told them I was playing with my puppy. And they told me that that was impossible. And I said, why? And they said, we didn't tell you, but we buried your puppy this morning. He died of parvo. But I saw that puppy. That puppy was barking. My sister even came in the living room and asked if we had gotten a new puppy. But my parents acted like it couldn't, you know, like they didn't hear anything. So here we go. This is the thing that I'm would like some information about. Oh, one more thing. I don't know if insects and stuff have anything to do with demonic entities. But my mom kept our house immaculately clean. And we always had bunches of house flies. We always had bunches of roaches. And we always had big, like, barn rats. I mean, the rats were so bad that we had a smell in our living room. We didn't know what it was from. My dad flipped a cushion on the couch, and there was a flat rat. Apparently, it had gotten under one of the cushions, and one of us had sat on it. I mean, that's just not your typical infestation. And for a house that was totally clean, I never understood that. Anyway, my mom asked me one day during the summer to go get something out of my room. Now, to get to my room, because my sister and I had changed rooms, we had switched rooms, you had to go down the hall and make a 90-degree right turn. The door right before I got to my door at the end of the hall was my parents' room. So I'm walking, and I glance in my parents' room, and their door was open. There was a very pale-looking woman standing right outside their closet, and she had what I told my parents was a long neck. It looked like a neck that had been stretched. She looked up and saw me and started talking to something, and I looked. And sitting on the end of my parents' bed was, I don't even know how to describe it. It looked to be very tall. It had like, I know this is going to sound very weird, but it had like, it looked like it had black skin with like red lines down its face. You know, and it looked like it had horns, and on Darkness Radio, the guy jokingly said I had seen Darth Maul. That's the best way, and that's probably a good description of him, the way his face kind of looked. But he reached out his arm, and he had long bony fingers, and like almost like claws on the end where his fingernails should be. And it's like he motioned for the door to shut. And that door slammed shut with him, you know, like somebody was really put some force behind it. Now me, I was standing here watching this and I couldn't move. It was like I was stuck. I wanted to move, but I couldn't. I couldn't scream. I couldn't do nothing. As soon as that door slammed, I was able to move again. And I went and I told my mama, I was like, Mama, Mama. You know, and I told her what I saw, and she told me I was crazy or whatever. So she went, she goes, I'm going to go look. So I was begging her, I mean, pleading, crying, please, Mama, don't go in there. Don't go in there. They're going to get you, Mama. And she opened up the door, and I could not believe what I saw. But there was nothing there. So she's like, see, I told you. And I'm like, Mama, it was there. I promise you. And where he had been sitting on the bed, though, you know, my mom was really, you know, when she made the bed, you could bounce a damn quarter off of it. You know, it was so stiff. But where he'd been sitting, you could tell that somebody had been sitting on the edge of the bed. But that didn't seem to bother my mom. So she told me that the door just shut itself. And I asked her how. And she said, it was a draft from the wind. And I told her, Mama, how can it be a draft from the wind? There are no windows open. No doors got opened. And the air conditioner's running. And at that point in time, we had a window unit, so it's not like the central air kicked on and did something. Anyway, never any answers for it. It wasn't until it was about 10 years ago, I guess. Yeah, I'd say about 10. By the way, all this happened probably between the years of 1982 and 1985. But about 10 years ago, so probably a good 21, 22 years after this happened, we found out some information. My dad never divulged this to my mom, because my mom's always been a believer in ghosts and stuff. Well, we found out that a woman named Paula, which was ironic, because that was also my mother's name. She had hung herself and killed herself in my parents' bedroom closet. The same closet that long-necked woman was standing right outside of when I saw that happen all those years ago. My mom had no idea about this. And as soon as she heard, I don't know how her and dad got on the subject, but somehow it came out. She called me right away. You know, my mom and I had always been close, you know. That's actually how I found her body. You know, it wasn't unusual for her for people not to hear from her for 3 or 4 days. But the day after Father's Day, my dad called and asked if I'd heard from my mom. And I told him no. And he's like, well, we haven't heard from her for about 3 days. And I'm like, okay. Then I got a cold chill because I realized it was the day after Father's Day. My mom always called me on Father's Day. This particular time, she didn't. And when I went to her apartment and got in, it was really quiet. And I smelled decaying meat, I thought. And it might have been, I don't know. I thought maybe she left something on the stove or some bones in the trash or something. But she was laying on her bathroom floor, eyes wide open, glazed over. Anyway, my point being that, you know, I still have dreams about this thing from time to time, where I die or where I'm back in the house and I see this thing and he looks at me with these jagged teeth and smiles and says, I'm waiting for you. I'm waiting for the day that you're no longer on this earth, because you can finally come home. And I almost died from meningitis a couple years ago. I mean, I was close. The doctor told my wife if she hadn't got me there that night, that by the morning I probably would have been dead. And I saw this thing. I know I saw him in my hospital room one night. I even got they even had to come give me something to sedate me because I was freaking out. And they claimed it was because of the brain damage from the fever from the meningitis, because they were going to have to drill holes in my skull to relieve the pressure, and they said that it had done some damage. But I would just like some feedback, you know. Even if some of the viewers have seen this thing or know something about it, knowledge is power, and I have none. I just know that this thing is going to, I feel like it's going to get me. And I really need some help, figuring out what it is. I do a little ghost hunting and stuff like that, but I mean, I have no idea what this thing is. And, I'm 40 years old, and, I'm getting closer and closer to not being here anymore, and this thing scares me to death. So if y'all can figure, if y'all have any ideas, please let me know. I appreciate it. Thank you in advance. Love your show. Great job. It's really a good source for people to get their, get their stories out there without feeling judged or, like they're crazy. Anyway, love you guys and your show. Take care.
I think it's definitely one that we should reach out to our entire audience to see if anybody else has seen this.
Mm-hmm.
But I would venture to guess that this is some sort of demon, and he probably is the reason the first woman killed herself, mm-hmm. and probably tried to get Bubba's mom to do that as well.
It's like it's something just kind of infested the house, mm-hmm. and everyone in it. I mean, the weird things that went on with the rats, mm-hmm. and someone who's trying to keep the house immaculately clean, and you still can't manage to do it because there's something else interfering constantly. The time window then made me start thinking of Stranger Things, and sure. it's like, oh, he was one of the, basically I'm picturing the kids,
right?
Going through this, and then these horrible, weird, dark things, although totally different plot line, mm-hmm. but it's like if there was a spinoff and we're talking about his house. But my goodness, it's, there was clearly something very dark there. It's good to hear that unless I'm missing it, that he's not necessarily super plagued with it today. But concerned that it could come back.
Well, the most recent was when he had the meningitis.
Okay.
And was in the hospital.
Okay.
And, anytime you get close to death, you start to see things. But that was what came to him.
Yeah. Well, almost like it kind of comes back as you're getting encroaching on its territory, mm-hmm. if you will. I think the only thing I could say is, as we hear quite often on this show is, try and keep yourself in white light, try and keep yourself in positivity, try and keep yourself, out of situations where things are going to get dark or depressing, where these things can kind of raise up.
Can it be attached without going further and becoming a full-fledged, possession and everything?
I would think so, and I think that's where it comes into play of you really gotta it's almost like having a manageable disease,
right?
Where as long as I do these things, I can manage it and keep it at bay. Mm-hmm. That's kind of where my advice is on this is you may not never be able to completely get rid of this thing that may be attached to you or following you, but there may be ways of keeping it at bay. Mm-hmm. That would be my thought process on it. You?
Yeah. And, neither one of us are demonologists.
No.
So what those ways may be, we mm-hmm. couldn't say.
Yeah, exactly. It would just be based on what we've heard on the show, what we've had other callers share with us. And that would be my my two cents on it. Thank you for calling in and sharing that experience with us. It was good story. It was a good story in terms of ghost stories, but troubling, certainly.
He's written in a couple of times.
Yeah.
I hate to say he never disappoints.
Yeah, it says those weird moments in the show where it's like, that was great.
Right.
But it's like, oh my God. That was
it's not good.
A horrible good. Experience for you. Thank you for that. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Thank you for listening today. If you like the program, help keep us on the air. Become an EPP extra podcast person. Sign up to do that at ghostpodcast.com. It's only $5 a month. That's what keeps this thing on the air. Without your support, we could not do it. Or you can sign up for a full year, get yourself a bunk bed, bell, or claim the phone session with Jenny and myself or Skype session. And we can discuss your ghost story one-on-one. Do that at ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thank you for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.